Gee, agus Falchuk Jean Clark and Luke Claskill are shocked on the show with me, Tom Cormack, as always, with you on a Wednesday night here until 9 o'clock. And we've got a very busy show lined up for you. We've got quite a lot of people. It's All Ireland football final week. Mayo and Dublin are preparing to go head to head for the second year in a row to decide who claims the biggest prize in Irish football. That's the Sam Maguire Cup. And on tonight's programme, we go back in time, 25 years in actual fact. And as I say, I'm joined in studio by the man who, well, climbed the steps of the Hogan Stand for the first time as a Donegal man to lift Sam Maguire, Anthony Molloy. And Anthony, good night to you and welcome.
Good evening, Tom. How are you?
And as we say, it's All-Ireland final weekend. 25 years ago, what's it like this week? What was it like this week 25 years ago?
Actually, I suppose, Tom, like, first of all, like, it's the greatest weekend in the calendar year anyway, in the GAA calendar year. And suppose the 25 years, they've gone very, very quickly. And
too quickly.
Too quickly, Tom, yeah. But 25 years ago and even the week leading up to the final, and that, it was a massive time. And suppose huge hype around the place, and flags, bunting in every town, flags on every house. Like, and everybody just in massive anticipation, like, of the Sunday ahead, you know.
Yeah. How did you avoid all that? Because, you know, if you were to allow that to get to you, you know, you wouldn't have played the way you did on the Sunday.
Yeah, but I suppose, like, we were sort of an experienced bunch anyway, like, and but there were, you know, there were a lot of media around at the time, and you know, the cameras came to all the clubs, you know, that had the county lads at the time. And but I suppose there's one thing I do remember, you know, Brian McInniff telling us, like, not to read any papers or you know, disregard papers and all that there, and don't put too much into the media thing, you know, and which I think we did that, you know, because
but you had to cope with supporters as well, I'm sure, and people looking for tickets.
Ach, yeah, you had, like, and, you know, like, we still had to, probably, to do our job with the media as well, because, you know, the cameras came to the ESB in Killybegs where I worked at the time, and they also came to my own town in Ardra as well, like, and, you know, that had to be done, like, but after that was done, like, it was, we sort of stayed away from people and from media and from newspapers, you know. Yeah.
Was it the fact that probably you were underdogs as well? Maybe did that take a little bit of the pressure off with the general public?
I probably did, like, because, you know, as we all know, like, not too many people give us a chance against Dublin, and but, like, we knew ourselves, like, within ourselves, that we were capable of beating Dublin, because earlier that year, you know, we played Dublin in the quarterfinals in Breffni Park, and we were leading by 4 points that day, like, with about 4 or 5 minutes left, like, and Dublin threw in 2 late goals, and came, you know, we came round the road disappointed, but I think it was a big learning curve for us, you know, and it was the same Dublin team we were meeting later on in September, and We had no fear of Dublin now, but a lot of people didn't give us much of a chance, Charlie, to be fair, Tom, to be fair.
And that did, because supporters weren't going to say, well, you'll have no problem, or nobody was telling you that you're going to win it or expecting you to win it.
No, like, I think they're our own supporters, I think, we're going to Dublin in more of hope, you know, and anticipation maybe that we might put up a good show. But, like, we were around a long while, most of us, you know, and We had a wee bit of experience, like, you know, we lost to Meath in 1990, like, a game maybe, you know, we shouldn't have lost, probably, you know, and so we were there, like, you know, we had to be in the Crow Park and that there, and probably what stood for us as well, like.
You were a driven bunch, weren't you?
We were, like, and, you know, there were some of us around from 1983 as well, remember, Tom, you know, so we had a fair amount of experience, like, with young and old, you know.
Anyway, coming on, what's the memory of the day?
I should look at Charlie, I often say this, you know, or Tom, it's one of the greatest days of my life, and I know that I'll never do anything better in my lifetime anyway than accept the Sam Maguire, like, on behalf of my team and on behalf of the county, and a great moment. And
what was, you know, it like going up the steps? What was going through your head when you were
You know, Tom, it's every young lad's dream, like, when you go out, you start out playing football, that, you know, one day you're going to play for your county, and one day that you'll win an All-Ireland medal. And you know, it was a very, very emotional few moments, I have to say. Like, a lot of stuff going through your head, like, and you know, you've a lot of pride and all that there, you know, and pride and what we actually achieved there and then, like. And I suppose the big thing for me as well, like, coming from where I come from, and a backward area, like, way above Glengash there, up there, like, and you know, for a fella like me, like, to be walking up the steps of the Hogan Stand was unbelievable.
I suppose that's where Sam is for the Hills came from, is it?
There's no doubt, like, I suppose, when I finished it, like, because, you know, I would have remembered there and then a lot of things going through your head, like, and, you know, mentioned today, like, we walked down Glengesh, like, and, you know, there weren't too many, well, there was no, definitely no buses put on for you in them days, and there weren't too many cars around the place either, and, yeah. And you walked down, or maybe you cycled down, you cycled home, like, to Ardra and that there, you know, and all that came through, and, suppose that's where the expression came from, Sam's for the Hills.
Had you a script prepared for it?
I had a bit of a script prepared the day before, and
no superstitions or
no. I'll tell you what happened. I suppose I would have rang Paul McCool and from Gidor, who would have been a good friend of mine, still is, and for a few words that's Gaelic. And of course, I went to my other good friend at the time, Bart Whelan, who was county secretary as well, up until the year prior to that. And we made out a few notes, but sure, I left without them. And but sure, I always say, like, you know,
when you obviously had read them, you had them in your head.
Well, when you walk up the steps there and accept. The biggest prize in GA. Look, it's not too hard to speak, Tom, you know.
Yeah. Well, you made a good speech that day, and I'm delighted to see I'm joined on the line now by a man who unfortunately missed the final, had played in all the games, and he had the heartbreak of missing the final. Martin Shovlin, how are you?
Yes, Tom, hi, thanks.
Good, 25 years on, what's your memory? I know you had the heartbreak of missing the final, but does the pain lessen with the years?
Memories, they're good and bad. That's the only way I can say it about it, Tom, you know. The good memories were of winning the Sam Maguire and being part of that. But, of course, the bad memories is of being picked on the team and missing the game on that actual day was just a heartbreak.
That's yeah. And it was a freak injury on the Thursday night, was it, in a kickabout after training?
Yeah. Messing about Thursday night. That's when it happened, yeah. Just messing about and hoping not to get injured. And we're just having a bit of fun. And I just seemed to have jarred the neck somehow.
Right, and you were a guy that wasn't prone to injury. You weren't one of those people that missed too many games in your career over.
No, I wouldn't have had too many injuries now over the years, to be honest. It was just an unfortunate one, and as I said in the book, maybe if I had left it alone and not done anything with it between there then and that Thursday and the following Sunday, I possibly could have got through the game all right.
And you tried it out on the Sunday morning.
I pulled out on a Sunday morning, yeah. We'd done a fitness test after Tim O'Brien. He was a surgeon one that time in the Mater Hospital, and Brian McGinniff got him out, and he looked at me on the Saturday. And he also said, I'll come out on Sunday morning and give you an injection to see what would get you through the game. And he did come out, and he gave me injections, but it didn't work.
Yeah. And it was your own decision?
That was my own decision, yeah.
Yeah. It was a difficult one.
Difficult, no, not easy, but had to be done. I just was not fit. Physically fit to play, that was the bottom line.
Yeah, well, you put the team before yourself, because a lot of people would have possibly, well, you know, getting the honour of walking behind the band on All-Ireland final day and starting for your county, given the service that you'd given.
Yeah, it's something you do look forward to, all right, going out in Croke Park. Like, as I said, you dream about it from you were a young lad watching All-Ireland from your 12, 13 years of age, and when you eventually get there and picked on the team to play, and the privilege of playing it out behind our team boys band would have been something else, but just wasn't to be.
Anyway, your other great memories from prior to the All-Ireland, any outstanding memory? What was the one game or the one moment in time in 92 that stands out in your memory other than the All-Ireland?
Well, Ulster final has to be the one, because our backs were really against the wall that day. You know, as everybody knows, down to 14 men for all of the second half and a good part of the first half, and we just had to dig deep, because we knew if we were beat that day, it was the end of the road for a lot of us.
What was it like in the dressing room that day at half time?
Well, it was a bit down. Things weren't great at that time. To Brian came in, and I remember he kicked a bottle of water that was on the floor in front of us, and he just, you know, lost the head a bit, and he gave us a good speech, and every man decided, look, this is the last throw the dice for a lot of us, and we'll go out and we'll give it one hell of a go.
Yeah, and it was probably one of the best half hours of football I'd say Donegal played in a long time up to that.
Yeah, every man upped their game, just and it worked out well. And then, you know, it wasn't that easy in actual fact, because we were out in our, only for the training that we did prior to that, we would have been out on our feet. We were out on our feet at the end of the game, but the training did stand to us big time.
Yeah, if I recall, it was a warm day as well.
Yeah.
Anthony, just what was the impact when Martin cried off? Did that affect Moira?
Look, it was like we're all, you know, hugely disappointed for Martin, like, but I have to say it was a very, very brave decision on Martin's behalf at the time, because he was an iron man, like,
legend.
He was an iron man and was never, you know, never sink to tackle, and if there's a ball to be won, like, no, there's no better man than Shiv, like, and we're all, you know, hugely disappointed for Martin, there's no doubt about that there, and I often say that to myself, if it happened to me, like, how would I have felt about it as well, because it was the biggest day of our lives, and the biggest day of Martin's life as well, like, certainly, like, we said we'd have to go out and win this for Martin as well, like, I mind us saying that as well, like, you know.
John Joe already came in, wasn't it? John Joe had been injured.
John Joe came in directly, John Joe came in directly from
Martin. He had been jumping at the bit anyway, I'm sure.
Exactly, yeah. John Joe played well too, as well, to be fair to him.
It was a good performance, and one man that played well on that occasion, he kicked 9 points. Manus Boyle, our old friend, how are you, Manus?
Good evening, Tom.
Well, 9 points in an All-Ireland final, I'm sure that was even something you probably never dreamt of.
No, not really, no. Even actually getting to play in an All-Ireland final was an honour in itself, you know. As I said at the time, and I keep saying it, there's people put on to score, and they can't do that without the work and endeavour of everybody else around them. And, you know, I was fortunate that the ball landed in me at certain times, but it was from the hard work of others, you know.
Yeah, including the big man beside me here.
Ah, yeah, big lid there, and listen to Shiv. I mean, I actually was in the room after Shiv came in, and...
What did you share with him, or what? Yeah.
Well, I happened to be just passing his room when he came in, and I said, sure, just Shiv, you'll manage some way, you know. I just couldn't believe that he made the decision he did, which was, it was probably one of the most honest decisions I ever seen. Around a football dressing room, and his only thought was for the group, for the team, and certainly wasn't for himself, which is, you couldn't say enough about the fella for doing it,
As we said, 9 points, man, is any of them stand out, or any of them in your memory still?
Well, the kind of whole game was, I suppose, the fact that it's 25 years, and there's a lot of talk about it, from the last lock of months. I actually seen it a couple of weeks ago for the first time in years, and there's moments in the game that stand out more than most, but it was one of those games that was very enjoyable. It was free flowing. To be fair to Dublin, they just wanted to play ball. They weren't a dirty team, they just wanted to get on with the game. I think we were in a good place. We went into the game, nothing really expected of us. All the pressure was in Dublin. I suppose if there was one score, I think probably midway through the second half, I got a ball, and I think I was being pulled at by the Dublin defender, and I just let her up, and she went over.
Who was marking you that day?
Mick Deegan.
Right.
And I just let her, I kind of was so comfortable that I thought every time I kicked the ball, she was going to go over, and I was in a good place, and that would be probably the one that stands out. But as Declan Bunner tells me all the time, the most important one was the last one, and he got it. So.
yeah. Well, it's the one that gets most TV coverage anyway, and seen most on YouTube and whatever. Fáilte Rash, Gideon Clark, I'm in Luke Glasgow in a Shocked on a Show with me, Tom Cormack. I'm in exalted company tonight. Anthony Molloy, captain of the Donegal All-Ireland 1992 winning team, here in studio with me. And we've got Manus Boyle and Martin Shovlin, who are very influential and important members of that 1992 journey to that very first All-Ireland final. We heard Manus there about those points and 9 points, and he felt comfortable. How comforting was it to you to have somebody like that was able to score like that for doing the hard work out the field?
We all knew Manus and his accuracy as well. But to be fair, we were a very natural bunch of players, overall, Tom. Most of our forwards, they all could take their scores, to be fair to Manus, he did turn it on that day.
Yeah, because Tony always reckons it was he carried.
Well, they're all lying for supremacy. Even the fat boy Tony, we used to call him. He still reckons he was the best. But you're like, I display them all, Tom, like, so. But no, like, overall, like, sure, we had six scoring forwards, like, and, you know, and then when you could, I suppose, when you can afford to play the likes of Barry McGowan, Noel Hegarty, as two corner backs, like, you know, men that could take scores as well. Like,
and men that wouldn't be lost in the modern game.
Wouldn't be lost anywhere, is right. And, and you had Don Reid, Rambo, you know, and Big Murray in the middle of the field could take a score as well. Like, and I might pick throwing an odd one here and there. Like, so, look at, I think we're a very good all round bunch of lads.
Was, like, was there a sense that maybe you should have won one earlier?
Well, maybe, possibly, maybe, I don't know, like, we played again very well against Meath in 1990, and, you know, probably we had a lot more possession than Meath, but probably Meath were
they went on to win that Ireland, didn't they?
Yeah, they were a more experienced bunch at the time, and they had a great team too, remember, and but I felt leaving that day, you know, Croke Park, you know, playing against Meath, and that we left, you know, the game behind us, and... look at, who knows, maybe a year later as well in 93, Tom, like, you know, it was a terrible, terrible bad day. That was the final against Derry, like, and, you know, there was a lot of us injured as well, like, there was a good few of us on the bench that day, and, you know, possibly another day we could have won that game as well, like, you know.
Maybe gone on one another All-Ireland.
You know, sure, we'd no back door either, Tom, and them.
Greetings here to Anthony and to Manus and to Martin Shovlin from Seamus Sweeney in New York.
So he's Seamus, how are you?
He's listening in New York. And also greetings here from John Cassidy. He says he's going to be waiting for you in the tunnel on Sunday.
Good man, John. How are things? Keep the tickets there.
Because you're heading to Croke Park, aren't you, again this week?
Yeah, we've a big weekend on. And, like, we're leaving Donegal Town, like, at 9 o'clock Saturday morning, and... with the evergreen Francie Marley driving us, like, Francie drove us everywhere in them years, and to be fair to Francie, he's putting on, he's sponsoring the bus for us, like, and so then we arrive in Dublin, we're going straight to the GPA function, which is great too, and Brian McAniff is receiving his Lifetime Achievement Award, and you know, it's a great function, that GPA function is a great function, there will be over about 500 past players there as well, like, and so we're looking forward to that, and 7:30 that evening, then we have our meal in the Skyline all together, and then we have a meet and greet after that, like, for our supporters from Dublin and around that, and then Sunday morning, then we're having lunch with the president and as well, like, and the Uachtaráin as well at 11:30 on Sunday morning, and a presentation there, and then we go out onto the field before the final itself.
Yeah, it's between the minor game, I think. And the minor game,
just before the senior
and
match.
And, of course, Derry are playing in the minor game.
Yeah, and it's great. Like, it's great to have an Ulster team up there. Like, and I wish Derry well, too.
Because they were great rivals of yours, weren't they?
They're always great rivals. And sure, when I talk about Derry, like, I talk about Big McGilligan all the time. And Mr. Toholl as well, around the middle of the field in them days, you know.
Yeah. Anyway, well, the man that masterminded all that was, of course, Brian McAniff, and he's to receive a Lifetime Achievement Award, which will be presented to him by the GPA on a Saturday at that function in Croke Park. Brian, delighted that you could join us, and I'm sure you're delighted to be among such exalted company once again, because you always call them your boys.
Oh, yeah, they're always my boys. For a very special breed of boys. We had a lot of good times, and we had a lot of ups, and we had a lot of downs as well, but it welded us together, there's no doubt, and there's a great bond and a great friendship among all the lads nowadays, so looking forward very much to the weekend and then having a couple of great nights in Dublin with them.
Tell me, the journey was a long one for you. Maybe Anthony was at it for about 13 years, you were at it much longer. Winning the All-Ireland, was the destination as good as the actual journey? Did it match it? Was it worth it?
Oh, it was, Tom. Like, it's hard to believe that 45 years ago I was a young player-manager, aspiring to win an Ulster Championship, that's as far as we could see, I suppose, at that time in Donegal, and to win it, I suppose, in a way, it was as good as winning the All-Ireland back in 72 and again in 74, you know. And then getting back in 83 when a young Anthony Molloy and a lot of those young lads of the 82, Tom O'Connor's All-Ireland winning squad, were all part of the squad. And then to go back again in the early 90s and join the 87 All-Ireland winning side, plus Tony Boyle and Noel Hegarty. And that just manifested itself in great success. And the sad thing is we didn't have at least the second All-Ireland, whether it was 91 or 93, but however, it wasn't to be, Tom, but we had a great time in 92 and we had a good weekend reflecting back on those days.
Yeah, and it was huge for the county, wasn't it? It was huge for Donegal football, huge for Ulster football, because
didn't realise, Tom, what it meant. Never mind the football, what it meant to the people of Donegal. You know, never anticipated. Like, I was a sort of chap that when I would play, and I played in quite a few county finals, I would take a shower and get into a car and drive home, and maybe go home and work for 6 hours. So I never was part of celebrations before, and I didn't realise. I just thought to be a week celebration, that'd be it, but sure, this was different. And we enjoyed it, and rightly so, and I would never cut back on that, because it was a great time for Donegal, whether it's the trip to London, or the 2 weeks holidays in the Canaries, or the trips to Glasgow and to London. They were great times for the lads, and that wonderful trip to Cork and back within a week, even though we weren't too terribly well treated down there, but it was part of an overall maybe 5 year period of manifestation and fun and a lot of football and a lot of crack. There's more fun back then in training and in preparing a team, Tom, than there would be now.
It's come on, you can tell us a few tales about the boys out of class now at this stage.
No, Tom, we used to close the dressing room door, and it had to be said was said, and if it was me that had to take the stick, I took the stick on the chin, and we moved on, and we didn't let it manifest itself into any hurt.
Yeah, so they weren't a pretty compliant bunch. They always
No, that's what made them the men they were. Like, as I called myself, if the old man was out of order, he was told he was out of order. And that's the way things were. And we closed the door, as I said, and whatever was discussed there and then, it was put to bed.
Yeah. Anyway, tell us some of those good stories, Anthony, on the bus. There must be some good stories over those years. And
actually, no doubt, Tom. Like, we had some great times on the bus, and but everybody had their own seat on the bus as well. Like, and you know, you had the singers down the back. You know, boys that thought they could sing anyway. And then you had
and yodel.
who was the yodeler?
Everyone,
Andy
was the yodeler.
Yeah, we all had a bit of a party piece, like. But you know, I suppose it's different nowadays. Like, you know, we played a match, like, and you know, we had our few jars or whatever, like, and we enjoyed our trip home, like, and things have changed, you know, so much now. And like, we had a great bunch of reporters.
You two of ice baths.
I was never in an ice tub in my life, Tom, and it might be a hot water bottle or maybe a couple of lumps of ice or something like that there, you know, so never seen an ice tub, but sure, you know, things have changed and, you know, changed for the better and you know, from the medical end of things now as well, like, and, you know, I ate all in 100 in them days. That was a painkiller. It's Diphene now, like, and, you know, so, no, they're big changes, there's no doubt, but it's all for the better.
Yeah.
You know?
We're just going to quickly run around the four of you. It's All-Ireland final weekend. It's Dublin again. They were invincible, or supposed to be invincible in 92, but they're going for 3 in a row. Starting with you, Anthony, what do you think with Mayo? Have they a chance?
Sure, you look at, you know, my heart will definitely lie with Mayo, and you know, they're probably, you know, the only team in the country that can actually beat Dublin. And, you know, they took them last year to a replay. The only thing about Mayo, you know, they're the instigators most days of their own downfall. And I think they'll, if they have a bit of luck on Sunday, and every team needs a bit of luck, I think, you know, I think it's a different Mayo team this year. You know, they've got a spring in their step, and they're well conditioned, and you know, they will match Dublin, like, for strength and conditioning, like. And I just hope to see Mayo. I think they deserve one at this stage, that present bunch of players.
And Martin Shovlin, what do you feel? What's your head saying?
Well, would you believe this? I've been telling everybody around here locally that it's Mayo's year.
Yeah.
And I'm still going to stick with that. They're a different team the year, I think. They seem to be more hungrier, definitely, and they're upward. And I've been saying it this last 2 months, 3 months, that it's Mayo's year. I'll give some children if I'm wrong.
And tell me, Manus, I know you have ties, because your mum is a Dublin woman, isn't she? So you have an old soft spot for the Dubs.
Yeah, and they were very good to me in 92. They gave me the freedom of Crow Park. I just think...
That's your party piece at the family gatherings.
While everybody would love Mayo, as Anthony said, this present group of lads to pick up the All-Ireland medal, I think if they can be as aggressive and as good in the tackle, and as as positive as they have been in the second game against Roscommon and in both games against Kerry, because I thought they were unlucky not to win it the first day. I think they have a real good chance, but the way the Dubs are set up, how strong they are on the bench, amazing manager, amazing backroom team that keep everything very simple, and it seems to be more about the players and the squad than it is about them. I think they're very unique, and if any team will achieve the three in a row, it'll be this Dubs. I think it'll be very close. But I would have to go with Dublin, you know.
Unfortunately, we're not getting to Brian McAniff. My thanks to Brian McAniff. My thanks to Anthony Malloy, my guest in studio, to Martin Shovlin and to Manus Boyle on the phones. Remember, it's Dublin and Mayo in Sunday in the senior final. Derry, the best of luck to Damien McAlern and his team against Kerry in the minor final. From me, Tom Comack, from Jimmy Stafford on sound, good evening, Shock and Shogun, Slán agus Bannock.